staying with sport, is women's sport in Ireland getting the recognition it deserves? From the girls in green at the World Cup to yesterday's record attendance, 30,191 people at the All-Ireland Camogie final. Well, it certainly and hopefully feels like that. But while women's sport is going from strength to strength, there have been challenges. For part of this season, senior inter-county footballers and Camogie players played under protest at what they called a lack of progress on player welfare issues. And in recent years, Ireland's soccer and rugby players have fought for better treatment and conditions. Well, joining me now to discuss all of this is the Chief Executive of Sport Ireland, Una May, and the President of the Camogie Association, Hilda Breslin. So firstly, yourself, Hilda, a record attendance yesterday at the All-Ireland final. What does that say?
I think it says the interest is there and the commitment is there. We were thrilled with the attendance. We broke 30,000 for the first time off the back of COVID.
And that's really fantastic.
Huge achievement for us. And I think that's what the message is. The message is, if you support women's sport, then you've got to get into those stadiums and support them.
Now, what's at the core here ultimately is that having role models for younger players, you see them all on the pitch, 30,000 people turning up. And that's what Cork's Amy O'Connor was saying yesterday. So this is all very important, isn't it?
It's huge, because girls have got to see girls. They've got to see them on the television. So we're lucky enough to be on RTE, and that gives you a profile. But you've got to see it to believe that you can be that person on the pitch. And I think that's the big difference. And it has to become the norm that people are attending and watching women's sport. It's easy to say stuff to tweet or social media. It's very simple to write something at home. But if you're not going to put the effort in, then really, are you supporting women's sport?
Well, you got to feel it. You got to be there. You got to be shouting from the sidelines.
Absolutely.
Chief Executive of Sport Ireland, Una May, joins us on the line. When we look at the legacy of the World Cup, Una, what do you think it is?
Well, look, there's no question about it. And I think Hilda has just captured it nicely there in terms of the figures from yesterday's match. But, you know, the Women's World Cup was the second most streamed event, Irish women's team event. So we are really, really going in the right direction. What the opportunities are there now is a growing range of opportunities to view sport. And that opens up new windows. So the streaming has been very successful, and we've been supporting some initiatives through our Women in Sport programme to allow more sports to stream their women's events in order to open up that viewership to a greater audience. So the numbers are very much going in the right direction. We're very happy to see that growth. I mean, 500,000 people watched the Women's World Cup opening match live on RTE.
And certainly from what Hilda was saying, if you can see it, you can be it. And now the women World Cup stars are household names. It means so much.
They are. And, you know, even after the World Cup was finished for the Irish women, when they returned there last week, there were 8,000 people who came out to greet them in for their homecoming in O'Connell Street. So there is a really growing support for our athletes, not just sitting at home, as Hilda mentioned, you know, online, but actually coming out in person to support them in, you know, real time.
But while you have growing numbers of supporters turning up and growing numbers of examples, and if you can see it, you can be it, why do participation levels amongst teenage girls remain low? Because less than 10% are doing recommended exercise.
Well, that's correct. So teenage girls are, I suppose, a challenge for us. And we've been doing a lot of work. We did a lot of research in 2021. We carried out research called Girls Get Active, looking at a whole project to explore what are the barriers for teenage girls to be involved in sport. And we now have targeted funds deliberately focusing on those kind of barriers. And there are many things for teenage girls that make them, I suppose, more challenging in order to get them interested in sport. And we have, and Camogie has been one of the very good examples of a national governing body who's taken on board the research, and we've provided top tips for how to ensure that girls are encouraged to stay, keeping them interested, making sure that sport is sociable, fun, removing, you know, some of the competitive elements, not all, but, you know, encouraging them to see, you know, multi-sport opportunities. Girls are we found are more open to a broader range of sports than have traditionally been offered to them. So we've been working on that. We're next weekend is the start of a new campaign, Her Outdoors, which is encouraging all women to take part in sport and physical activity outdoors, which is something that the teenage girls told us they were particularly interested in.
Well, you mentioned funding. So of the money that was paid out by government last year, how much was paid to men? How much went to women? Do we know?
Well, that's something that's very difficult to actually define, because many of our sports are for both, and our funding goes directly into the governing bodies of sport and into the local sports partnership. But what we do know, and what we can particularly put our finger on, is the fact that we've invested 4 million in our Women in Sport programme over 21 and 22, with 150 programmes specifically targeting women in sport. And that's outside of the core funding, which supports, as I said, all governing bodies, many of which cater for both men and women equally.
Now, despite the successes, there has been a continuing uphill battle for women in sport. We just need to look back at 2017 and the FAI protest then. Why is there a continuing struggle for women when it comes to sport?
Well, you know, I suppose it's continuing struggle because but we are making good progress. We're making very significant progress. The number of women participating in sport now, the gap between men and women's participation, when we first started gathering our research data in 2007, the gap was 16%. That's down to now to 4%. That's research data that we'll be publishing at the end of this month. So we're seeing a huge improvement. But what we have to do is we're focusing on a number of different pillars. We're focusing on participation of women and girls in sport, but we also are focusing on improving the levels of coaching and officiating women in leadership and governance positions and the visibility. So, you know, while we've put a lot of energy into ensuring that more women are participating, we really need to look at all the areas in order to ensure that across the board women are getting equal opportunities.
Hilda, some of these types of issues emerging too with inter-county footballers and camogie players playing under protest over the lack of progress on player welfare issues. Are these being addressed?
I think they are. I mean, we've a very good record on player welfare, and we've had it since the government grant scheme came in, since 2016. But the reality is the revenue's not there to the same extent. And I suppose that's very hard. And rightly, players are protesting and they're saying they're not happy about that. But we've got to generate the revenue to support the player. The government grant scheme is brilliant, it's absolutely excellent. And we engaged with the GPA before the protests. We met them and we asked for the data so that we could examine where we can increase player welfare and work together. And I think that's the important thing, is that going forward we all work together on evidence-based data, because what we need is we need the facts and the realities to get a baseline and improve that baseline. But absolutely, we are playing catch-up. There is little doubt women's sport is playing catch-up, and it needs the extra supports to do that, and it needs the revenue to do that. That's the reality of the situation we're in today.
Is there enough money coming from sponsorship deals when it comes to women's sport?
We've generated a huge sponsorship over the last 2 years. I mean, Glendimplex have come on board for us. And I think off the back of that, our sponsorship with Electric Ireland, Allianz, blue chip companies has really increased. So that's what we've got to do. But that's 2-3 years. So it takes time. People look at men's sports, they look at the GAA, and they see that's been happening for a number of years. And I suppose it's easy for me to say we need time, and it's easy for me to say we're getting there. But I understand players are saying we're not getting there quick enough. And maybe that's the question, is what can we do in the short term to uplift us so that, you know, we get there quicker than really we would naturally.
Una May, finally and briefly, there's a lot to look forward to, a lot left to come over the next year, because it's a year out now from the Olympics in Paris.
It is. And, you know, already this morning we're you know, celebrating further successes in our para swimmers. Our para athletes, cyclists have had success in the last week. So we've more and more women and men who are already after achieving their qualifying standards for the Olympic Games now across a huge range of sports. So we've already had qualifications in at least five different sports already, and many more to come. And for many sports, the window of opportunity to qualify has only just recently opened. So we're very excited for the year ahead, and we're really excited particularly to see the number of women who are qualifying and who are producing the results. And in some sports, they're the only ones who have produced the results. So it's, you know, it's very heartening for us, you know, and you can continue, and we have, and we've you know, the government has trebled the investment in payments for to the GPA for women, female players. But, you know, it's about more than just funding. And I think Hilda captured it there. It's about ensuring that there's a culture and that there's an entire society that's supporting the women. So funding is one element of it, but we need the overall structure and the supports to be in place. And that means a shift in culture where women are given the opportunities to have equal access to facilities, et cetera, et cetera.
Chief Executive of Sport Ireland, Una May, and President of the Camogie Association, Hilda Breslin. Thanks for joining us this morning.